You'd like to turn there, John chapter 10, and Vontae has asked that we read this because this is where he's going to start his lesson off today. Parable of the Good Shepherd. I read this one. For me, I get more out of these things if I read them slowly. We're going to read the first 10 verses, and if you kind of read it the way I read it today, it's like you read the first 6 verses and Jesus stops and kind of looks at everybody. And maybe getting some blank stares, and then he proceeds on with the last few verses here. Starting at verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life, and have it abundantly.
It's on. Can you hear me? You got it now? All right. The day is, how are you living your life? Caleb wrote a great bulletin article about how to live your life. And how are you living your life? I used to ask this question all the time as a curious kid, and oftentimes I got the answers I needed from my grandparents. You know, grandparents are great for asking questions and answering them. But my grandmother used to have a magnet on the fridge. There's three little monkeys, and the premise of the monkeys were hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. One had its hands covering its ears, its eyes, and one its mouth. And as a child, I loved that little magnet. What kid doesn't love monkeys? I thought it was great. I thought it was a great thing to play with and mess with. But in understanding that, hearing no evil, seeing no evil, and speaking no evil, that is a decent way to live life. Decent way to live life. But it's not quite enough. It's not quite enough to just hear no evil, see no evil, and speak no evil. That's not enough to do that. If you truly want to live life the right way, you need to hear for God, you need to see for God, and you need to speak for God. That is the way that you can live life the right way. But what does it mean to hear, see, and speak for God? So, the verses that were just read were John 10, 1 through 9. In these verses, you see the idea of a sheep entering a door because they knew their father's voice. Because they were able to hear their father's voice and to follow it and to catch its guidance. So, in the idea of hearing for God, are you sheep? Are you able to enter the gate because you know your father's voice? Because you hear its guidance, you're allowing it to lead you through the door. Are you bogged down by distractions. The world is filled with so many distractions. The world is telling you so many different agendas, everything from politics to right, who has this rights to who has those rights. It's trying to fill you with so many different distractions and tell you so many different things. But if you want to hear for God, you must be able to sift through those distractions. You must be able to go through those distractions and find your Father's voice. Find the guidance that is there for you to use. He's always going to be there for you, telling you, helping you. You have to be able to hear his voice. You have to be able to avoid the distractions of the world. So, what does it mean to see for God? If you flip to John 8:12 says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. Who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And then if you also flip with me to John 12:44-45. John 12:44-45. These verses state, "Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me." These verses are telling you, the first verse in John 8 tells you that Jesus is the light in the darkness. And those second verses tell you when you are able to see Jesus, you're able to see the Father. So in a world filled with so much darkness, so many images that are both good and bad, you have everything from really cool superhero movies of people flying across the screen and throwing hammers to things that are not safe for eyes, not safe for you to see, things that are hidden under the cover of night. The world is filled with so many images, so much darkness. Are you able to see Jesus? Are you able to see the light of Jesus? Because if you see the light of Jesus, you see the Father. You see the gifts and blessings that the Father provides for you. You're able to see all these wonderful things. You're able to see God. You're able to see the blessings that he gives to you. You're able to see comfort. You're able to see love. You're able to see light. You're able to see redemption. You're able to see all these wonderful things if you're able to look through the darkness, if you're able to sift through those images and find the light of Jesus. You're able to see God. You're able to see for God. So what does it mean to speak for God? So to speak for God is going to be Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20 state, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the age." If you're speaking for God, that means speaking his message, going unto the world and speaking for God. Speaking doesn't always have to be verbal. Sometimes your actions speak louder than your words, but your actions and your voice, are you using that for God? Are you being a vessel for God? Are you getting muted out by the world? As before, the world is full of distractions. The world is full of darkness. The world is full of people who are trying to mute out your voice. When you speak for God, you stand out different. You're heard because you're not like the world. You stand out different from the world. But if you're speaking for the world, nobody's going to hear you because you're going to sound like everybody else. The question is, are you a vessel for God? And not only are you a vessel for God, are you speaking his agenda? Are you speaking your own personal agenda and the world's agenda? We have a bad habit of letting all this darkness and distractions and the world trying to mute you out. We have a bad habit of letting these things lead you away from God. It's not leading you towards God. These things is exactly what it leaves you idle, and it leaves you in Satan's palm. So blocking out sin, hearing no evil, seeing no evil, and speaking no evil is not enough. You have to be active. You have to be able to live for God actively. So, active versus idle. Which one are you? In the idea of, in the imagery that I used before of the magnets on the fridge, like I said, one monkey had his hand over its ears, one had his hand over his eyes, and one had his hand over his mouth. Are you going through life like that? Are you going through life just covering your ears? Just, I'm blocking out all the evil. Nobody is going to hear me. Well, if you're blocking out evil, you're not, what are you doing? You're blocking out evil, good, but you're blocking out everything. You're not doing anything with it. You're not being active. Us as people, we're like cups. We're empty cups waiting to be filled. So when you're blocking out evil, you're not filling your cup with evil, which is great, which is amazing, but you're not filling your cup with anything. Leaves you empty, leaves you wanting for more, leaves a big hole in you that is not filled unless you fill it with God. Nothing else can fill your cup like God can fill it. Because when he fills it all the way. Not partially, not a little bit, he fills it all the way. But when you're filling your cup with money, greed, fame, popularity, fill in the blank, you're not fulfilled. Blocking evil is not enough. You must be able to fill your cup with God. And by doing that, you are fulfilled. And to do that, you have to be active in your search for God. 1 Peter 5:8-11, if you would turn there with me, please. 1 Peter 5:8-11. First Peter 5:8-11 states, "Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle in you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." These verses are telling you, you must be active, not only to fill your cup, but because your enemy is active. It described him as a roaring lion. Lions hunt, and we are his prey. So if we're like those monkeys and we're just sitting there covering your ears, you're going to be hunted and you're going to be taken down. That is where Satan wants you. He wants you idle. He wants you stagnant. He wants you sitting there doing nothing. Because if you're doing nothing, you're not living for God. And that's exactly where Satan wants you. He is a hungry lion, actively searching for you. So you must be active in your pursuit of God. You must be active to avoid Satan, because if he's active, you got to be active. There's nothing idle or stagnant about being a Christian. Nothing. So you must be active. You must be able to actively search for Christ, actively fill your cup, actively find the strength of Christ. Live your life for Christ. But how do you know you're heading down the right path? Ask yourself three questions, three simple questions. Is it in love? Is it in the Bible? And is it in Christ? If you're able to answer these three questions, you're heading down the right path. So first, for is it in love, we have Romans 8:31-35. Romans 8:31-35. Romans 8:31-35 states, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." In understanding, is it in love? You have to ask yourself, is it in love? When you are in the love of Christ, it says it right here. What can separate us from that? What can defeat you if you are in the love of Christ? You know you're heading down the right path if you're in that love, because we all know the question, can anything defeat Christ? No. So if you're in that love, can you be defeated? No. You have to actively be seeking the love of Christ, actively seeking your life to be in that love. Second question is it in the Bible? Revelations 20, 18, and 19. Revelations 20, 18, and 19. Excuse me, Revelations 22, I'm sorry. Revelations 22, 18 and 19. Revelations 22, 18 and 19 states, "For I testify to anyone who hears the word of the prophets of this book, if anyone wants to add to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from all from the things which are written in this book." You have to understand, if your life is in the Bible, you take the Bible for what it says. You take the Bible and apply it to your life directly for what it says. You don't take away from it. You don't add to it. You take it for what it says. Imagine a cookbook. I'm not the greatest cook in the world, so I use a cookbook whenever I want to cook something nice. I follow those instructions exactly how they're written so I can get the food that I want. You need to follow the Bible like a recipe book, exactly what it says. If you take away or add to it, you're messing up the recipe. You're defeating the purpose of the recipe. You might as well do it on your own. If you do it on your own, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end the way you want it to end. The Bible is here for us to use. So blessed are those who take it for its word. Blessed are those who live their lives for the Bible, in the love of Christ. Last question is 1 Peter 2, 24 and 25. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25. So the next question is, is it in Christ? 1 Peter 2, verses 24 through 25. Who himself bore all our sins in his own body on the tree, that we have died to sin may live for righteousness, but whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. It is much easier to hear, see, and speak for God when you are in Christ. It's much easier. We read earlier that when you see Christ, you see the Father. So when you're in Christ, you're in the love of God. You're in the embrace of the Holy Father, the Creator. You're in his redemption. You're in his love. You're in his mercy. You're in his grace. You're in all these wonderful things. And you have help. Being in Christ, being in the Bible, and being in love, you're not doing these things alone. When you're actively living your life for Christ, you're never alone. The world wants you to be alone. Satan wants you to be alone. The world and Satan wants you to live your life like those monkeys, just blocking off your ears, not listening to any evil, but also not listening to anybody else, living alone, being alone. Because when you're alone, you're weak. When you're alone, Satan, that devouring lion, he hunts you more actively. Lions in the wild don't hunt a pack of prey. They single out the weak one. They single out the one by itself. That is how Satan is hunting you. But when you're in the love of Christ, when you're in the Bible, when you're in Christ, you have that help, not only from God the Father, not only from Jesus, but from God's people. When we're all living this together, it's easier for me to live my life for Christ if I have Caleb here with me. He's living his life for Christ. We're working together. We're talking. We're discussing. We're praying. It's easier for me if he's helping. It's easier for him if I'm helping. That's how Christ is. That's how Christianity works as a team. We were made in the image of God, and God works in a team. The Holy Trinity, Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. If we're made in the image of somebody who works in a team, common sense says we should work in the team as well. We should be in Christ. We should be in the Bible. We should be in love. You should hear for God. You should see for God. You should speak for God. That's how you should live your life. And there's nothing passive about Christianity. There's nothing passive. It's not enough to just block sin. You must actively be living for God and using the blessings He's given you. And it's never too late to find the right path. It's never too late. That's how awesome our God is. It's never too late. And there's no time like the present. So if you're not in Christ, be active. Repent. Be baptized. Live for Him. Come up. Come forth. That's why we are here. For you. To help you. So if you're not in Christ, find Christ. Don't be hunted anymore. Have some help. And if you are in Christ and you're not heading down the right path, and you know you're not heading down the right path, come forward. Find help. That is the whole point of the church, is so we can help each other find Christ, find the right path, work together, love each other, comfort each other. That is the whole point of Christianity. We can't do it by ourselves. That is why we are here. So if you want to live your life for God, come forward while we stand and sing.